Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show. Sit back and relax, and we'll get things started with Philip Carter and SOV, and I'll be right back.
I'm
That's never sunny. It would be like the bee that can't make honey. Or maybe like the falling snow that never melts. Like always hearing of your touch but never felt. It's like the vase that holds no flowers. Never wanna sleep without you. Never wanna wake without you. I never wanna part with life abundantly. A game that has no end. Like knowing love's behind the door you cannot enter. Like knowing joy's in a morning that never comes. Kind of like what life would be if God didn't
the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, till at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said to her, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster buds. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. To the sin that had me bound, I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my with the wonder of his power. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to pour my praise on him like all. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. My head, you are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
This is G. Wright, and you're listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show. I'm your host, G. Wright. You just now finished listening to the sounds of CeCe Winans' Alabaster Box, and I hope you guys are enjoying yourselves so far. And the first song you heard was Philip Carter and SOB. That was A Great Day. And I just want to just encourage you guys who are out there listening right now to just remember this. Remember that God loves you. Remember that all things are possible. No matter what your situation might say, no matter what your situation might say, just know with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Just have that faith the size of a mustard seed and believe.
Life's been serving you some blows, yeah. Around every corner you see, thick clouds cover you in despair. You can't see your goal. You're about to lose hope. Well, don't give up. Don't give in.
Dream.
You guys are listening to the Hard Love Radio Show. This is your host, G. Wright, coming to you live from the D.C. Baltimore area. I just want to send a shout-out to my boy, Robert Wesley Branch of the Robert Wesley Branch Show. What's going on, bro? I'm in the chat room. And, you know, I've got to tell you guys, you know, sometimes in life, we go through things and we go through our trials and tribulations, and sometimes we make our situations to be larger than what they are. But when you take those baby steps, when you take those steps that and just focus on God and focus on what you believe God's called you to do and to do it, instead of trying to focus on the big picture, see what's in front of you. See what's in front of you. See what's in front of you. See the blessings that you have now. And then just know that that it can happen. Things can happen. One thing you do have to do is this. Be a believer.
I'm a believer.
You guys are listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show. I can tell you guys this. I love this man, Robert Wesley Branch, who always tends to push me. You know what? You guys, I was a little bit. And friend, he says, are you too tired? And I thought about this. Am I too tired to preach? Am I too tired to preach? If I've been called to preach, and I know I've been called to preach, then I got to preach whether I'm tired, in season, out of season, when I'm feeling distraught or whatever. I need to preach through my circumstances, preach through the thing I'm going through that God might get the glory. So I just want to say thank you again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. You know, but so thank you. Thank you, Robert. You know, one of the things about it, you know, it was actually, I just now finished a term paper. I was actually talking about counseling. But I guess I can, you know what? You know how we do it, Robert. You know, I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. You know, I hope you guys like it. This is actually a research paper I've done. And this research paper is, it's about research about various topics which plague adolescents. Adolescents. Well, I guess I made a typo on this one, you guys. I hope my grade is going to be good. The purpose of this paper is to examine my research about various topics which plague adolescents. Sexual abuse, drugs, alcohol, suicide, and bullying are the four various topics that will be explored in this paper. Each one can affect and change the course of an adolescent's life, affecting the adolescent into his or her adulthood. As a pastoral counselor, yes, I'm a pastoral counselor now, my integrity and beliefs affect my work ethic in the following ways. The counseling process is done with godly integrity and confidentiality. Dedication to a concise, solution-focused, and short-term methodology is important in the counseling process. The practices and services rendered are given with the adolescent's safety. With the adolescent's safety and mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional health in mind. You know, all those things differently, you know, go with it. All those things go with it. And as you say, Robert, I'm going to tell it, Robert. Okay, here it is. Everyone's trying to talk to me. So this is something I'm showing you guys, and I guess this is part of ministry as well. So I'm going to tell you guys this right now. You know, this was as far as a pastoral counseling class I took. And the thing about it is this: the psychological, physical, spiritual, and emotional health of the adolescent is of utmost importance. Sexual abuse, drugs, alcohol, suicide, and bullying are topics that can challenge the stability of the adolescent, causing detrimental effects in the adolescent's life. Therefore, the counselor must understand the correct procedures in dealing with signs of each particular topic and must understand how each one, though separate, can be clear indications of another bigger problem and can have overlapping symptoms. Did you know that, you know, certain things as far as when you think about sexual abuse and what happens as a result of sexual abuse in the life of the child, you know, that can cause things such as drugs and alcohol. It can also cause things such as suicide. depression, which, is a clear indication of suicide. And then bullying, people could be acting, kids can be acting out because they were sexually abused, or because they've viewed violence, or because they have endured violence in their homes, So understanding the adolescent and this developmental period is crucial for the counselor. The adolescent is affected and influenced by things such as puberty, socialization, and parental influence. How you act in front of your kids is teaching them, and it's affecting them. So if you're acting like you're like a fool in front of your parent, in front of your kids, don't be shocked when your kids go to school and they act like a fool. If the parents act like a fool, don't complain because your kids act like a fool, because they're looking at you. They're looking at you. They're affected. And they're influenced by you. When one or more of these factors are negative or overwhelming, it can cause a negative effect in the life of that adolescent, causing the adolescent to turn to drugs or alcohol, to commit suicide, and even to bully other adolescents. Now, when an adolescent has experienced sexual abuse, it can cause the adolescent to experiment to commit the other three topics mentioned above. Based upon research, it proves accurate to say that sexual abuse, along with other factors adolescents face, can cause the adolescent to turn to drugs or alcohol, suicide, and even bullying as a way of coping with his or her present reality. Now, I couldn't talk about all the topics, of course, in this paper because it was only a 15-20 page paper. So I had to pick various topics that I felt led to pick. And these are the ones that I eventually ended up with, the ones I believe that God wanted me to discuss. And as I did this paper, as I spent the time getting the paper together, and as I spent the time doing my research, I realized that, wow, the foundational thing that can cause everything else to mess up and cause, not mess up, but can cause other fires, other little things, and cause this and that, is sexual abuse. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and one of my best friends, and he was saying how in his area, he went online and he saw how many sexual offenders were in his neighborhood. I think he said about 250. He went to a website. I haven't gotten a website yet. I had to get it from him. 250 registered sex offenders were in his area. Can you imagine how many non-registered sex offenders are out there? And why is this important? Why is this important? It's important because what happens is that we put labels on kids. And then if you're in social work or in counseling, there's some codes called the DSM-4 codes, and that's how you can label. There are different stages, and under different stages they have different symptoms, which points to different or particular problems. And it's so easy sometimes for these kids to get labeled, when the problem might be further down. The problem might be that the kid is acting out and being aggressive because someone's sexually abusing him or her. It might be that kid is sexually promiscuous because someone took something that was precious to them. Perhaps someone is on drugs because they're trying to numb the feeling of getting hit all the time or being raped or molested. You never know why people turn to the things that they do. Well, it's amazing in this research paper that sexual abuse is like a big, it's really, really huge, and it really, really affects all in every area of your life, every part of your being. Now, sexual abuse is a travesty that affects countless adolescents, both male and female. Since the Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Treatment Act in 1974, sexual abuse reports have all alarmingly increased, which makes this an important and delicate issue for the counselor. Concerning all facets of counseling, solution-focused pastoral counseling is an excellent short-term methodology to implement in the counseling setting because the counselor focuses on co-creating solutions and trusting the intention of the Spirit. The counselor also creates an environment where the adolescent feels safe and protected, first and foremost. Now, what happens, pastoral counseling is, you know, counseling from a pastor or a lay person in the ministry who has been exposed and has learned counseling methods, and they give and a solution focused solution. We're not focusing on the problem, we're focusing on the solution. You understand the problem. You understand what you're going through, what you want, and what people are wanting are solutions. Solutions. Now, as a pastoral counselor, I say this, as a pastor, I'm not a pastor yet, but as a minister, what happens is that sometimes you don't have a whole bunch of time to spend counseling because there are other parts of the ministry you have to do. But pastoral counseling is set up for ministers who are able to functionally give therapeutic, therapy to people who are in need and who need to see a counselor. Thank God that we can go to Jesus in prayer. You know, the Holy Spirit, God is our mighty counselor. He's given us his word. And thank God that God has equipped those who are counselors, those who have studied counseling, those who understand how the human mind works, those who understand the complexities that goes behind human nature and things like that. Thank God for counselors who are able to help us walk through our situations. Now, these are the different, I'm sharing some of these things. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of this or not, but solution-focused counseling supports 9 guiding assumptions which pastoral counselors must keep in mind. Now, these assumptions are things that you believe before you go into the counseling process. Before you start counseling anyone, you're going to believe this. Number one, God is already active in the counseling. How many of you know that God is always at work? Even when we think that he is not at work, even when we think that he's not listening, God is always at work. And if you're in counseling, if you're in anything like that, therapeutic setting, if you're a Christian, because of course this comes from a Christian aspect, God is already active in the counseling. Point number two, complex problems do not demand complex solutions. Complex problems do not demand complex solutions. Sometimes we get trapped up because we think it has to be so complex. That's how come God will take the things of, what's the scripture? That God will take things of the simple things to confound the wise. I'm going to find a scripture. But he'll take those things that you would not ever think about to confound the wise. Complex problems do not demand complex solutions. Three, Finding exceptions helps create solutions. Finding exceptions helps create solutions. Imagine this. This is an example. Someone is having a problem. They're saying, you know, I can never do this right. I can never do this right. I can never amount to where I would like to amount to. And then you listen to them, then you talk to them, and then, but there's that one time I actually made the goal. And then he's like, okay, that's an exception. That's an exception to your problem and helping you find a solution. That exception is the fact that, hey, guess what? You did make a goal. How did it feel when you made that goal? Do you remember what you were doing when you were making that goal? And that's what you want to mimic. That's a solution. That's finding an exception in the midst of your craziness to create a solution. Then the counselee is always changing. The counselee is always changing. Always changing. We change 24/7. And it's amazing. When I was younger, I really didn't like change that much. And sometimes I kind of... I'm a lot better right now. I'm a lot better. But definitely when I was younger, I hated change. But you don't want anyone else to change. But guess what? We are always changing. Because our lives and our situations that we face, we're always constantly evolving. So if you're dealing with anyone, if you're dealing with an adolescent, just know that that adolescent is going to always change. Because people always change. Now, the counselee is the expert and defines goals. The whole thing about counseling is you're helping the person create the goals. But guess what? They have to define the goals for themselves. Then it's up to you as a counselor to help shape their goals and then to help them to co-create their solutions. So to refine the goals, and then you're going to help them co-create solutions. The thing about it is that sometimes we don't want to be responsible for our own issues. We want someone else to be responsible for it. But we just want someone to hold our hands. But we want them to be co-responsible sometimes, so then we can't say, hey, I failed. I can't do it. You know, but solutions are co-created and within that environment. And of course, once you're out of that environment, you can begin to create your solutions to your problems. The counselee is not the problem. The problem is. The counselee is not the problem. So if you're dealing with someone, a little kid, an adolescent, you're saying this kid is bad, just bad, you know, and people just love that sometimes. Putting the stereotype. The problem is the problem, not the kid. The kid's not the problem. That problem that they have with their mouth is the problem. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense. But the counseling relationship is positional, meaning this: you want the person to be willing. You want the kid to be willing. No one's gonna be willing if someone's yelling at them. If you're yelling at your kids, if you're yelling at them, telling them what they need to do and what they should be doing, who wants to listen to that? You know, they might do it, but the respect that you would want to have, no, just talk to your kids. There's no need to yell. And then the counselor's focus is on solutions. As a counselor, I mean, if you're working with kids and you're working with people and you're over them as some kind of advisory position, you want to focus on solutions. People who are successful focus on solutions. How can I do this? How is this going to work? Let me pray about a solution. And God gives you a solution. You know, and when you're working with kids, you got to, as a pastor or counselor, you have to keep these things in mind, because we're not God. The counselors are there to help. They're there to assist. But counselors are not God. God is God. So guess what? The work that has to be done has to be the work of the person who needs the help, an adolescent who needs help in particular areas. And this is just giving you, guys, just a little peek into my world and what I'm embarking upon. And, you know, so this is just a little something just telling you about what I've done. I'll be right back.
A's to the gel.
Okay.
C's to the now.
Okay.
Who they be?
Trinity.
Who we be?
Yeah.
You can fall.
He accepted me.
Okay.
Now I'm about to give you my acceptance speech. Okay. I know I'm not perfect, but God said I'm worth it, and He just won't stop blessing me. Blessing me. He just won't stop blessing me. Even though I know I'm not what I should be. People out there always judging me, but He's the only one who. They give you my acceptance speech. I know I'm not perfect. God said I'm worth it. And He just won't stop blessing me.
Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves right now. Hope you guys like that. That was Trinity 5-7. Now, I hope everything is going well with you guys. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Continue to just lift me up in your prayers, and I pray that God will bless you, that God will keep you, that God will empower you with His Spirit to do what He's called you to do. I'm sending a special shout out to my boy Robert Wesley Branch of the Robert Wesley Branch Show. What's up? I appreciate you and you guys. I appreciate you guys, and I hope that something spoken tonight has touched your hearts. Be prepared next week for a great message next Tuesday night from 9 to 10. Don't forget to check me out at gwriteonline.com. If you have any prayer requests, send me an email, gwriteonline@yahoo.com. I'm going to leave you right now tonight with CeCe Winans, Colorful World. It's a colorful world, guys. God bless.
Say she's a little wild, but she could rule the world when she opens up her mouth and smiles. It's a colorful world that we live in, a colorful world that we live in. It's a colorful world, it's a beautiful world that we live in. It's a colorful world, it's a beautiful world that we live in.
You don't have to hold me. You don't have to say a word. closer to you than Barack and Michelle. I'll tell anybody about the jewel I found. I put you on, then you turn my frown upside down. But you ain't even gotta touch me when I feel you breathe. It's surreal how my mind, body, and soul's at peace. So if you be so kind, inhale, exhale. Do that thing you do, cause you do it well. I gotta have it, cause I need it from my head to my feet. If you appease, I'll be pleased. Give me that strength so I can take me another trip to paradise. Cause every new trip seems twice as nice. See, the way you make me feel is so impossible to hide. And when it's all said and done, I'm completely satisfied with life. Yeah.
Brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken.
He can mend your broken.
About your situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you.
Promise
me, said he would. I can heal.
Yes, he can.
that you leave this building. My prayer for everyone in here is that you'll have your healing. Where you are, come on and tell them.